too good to be true, that God's only Son lived and died just for you. Is it hard to believe that His love's really there? In spite of your sin, He continues to care. I don't know sometimes does it seem you've wandered so far, you'll never get back to your place in His heart. Don't you know that He waits for the sound of your prayers? Just whisper His name and you'll find that He's there. I don't know. What a Savior He is. I don't know where your feet have taken you, but His climbed up Calvary's hill. I don't know what kind of words you've spoken, but His words were far.
Top notch. Amen. It always is. It always has been. And I appreciate the good music here. And I appreciate this church. And this meeting is always good. I mean, I get so much help Brother Johnson's message a while ago, and that helped me. That helped me. Well, if you ain't careful, you'll forget why you're in the ministry, and you'll get to feeling sorry for yourself, and you'll expect something really, like you said, it's just a privilege, isn't it, to be in. I don't let a day pass but what I don't thank the Lord. Paul said he counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. He put me in it. He put me in it. And I'm confident of that. I've doubted a lot of things in my life. I've never doubted, Brother Richardson, that God called me into this thing, put me in it. And He'll put you in it if you'll get in it. You just got to get in. You got to get in it. He's got a place for you. And that was a great message. What a message. Such good preaching, such good singing. You got a wonderful place here. I hope you know it. I thought about maybe tomorrow trying to just preach on that a little bit. I'm afraid sometimes people don't know what they got. You know, we're so spoiled in this country. Americans, I'm afraid, have not known what they've had. If they were, they would not be so careless with what we've got. We've had a great nation. I love our country, and I love God's people. I love this church, and you folks, and I certainly love you, Pastor. I want to be a help to you tonight and preach something that'll help you. If you take your Bible and turn to the book of Numbers, I'm going to read quite a bit of Scripture. Now, I'm not a good reader. I read a lot, but it sounds like I'm just learning to read because I make so many mispronounced words. But I'll assure you I do the best I can. But sometimes some of them Old Testament names to me is just about impossible. I'm not sure that they can pronounce them. Boy, I sure am glad I live when I do so that I didn't get one of them hung on me. I'm glad, because I can spell my name and pronounce it. And some of these, man, I'll tell you something, I don't know. They had some hard names. And even names of places were hard names. I heard Dr. Hudson one time telling about being with a preacher and said this preacher got in this town out in the state of Texas. I believe it was in Waxahachie, Texas. Well, this old boy was about like I am. You know, he couldn't read real good and pronounce the words of things. So he went in a Burger King. And he got in that Burger King and he walked up and they said, "Can we help you?" And this old boy forgot, that he was in a restaurant. And the woman said, "Can I help you?" He said, "How do you pronounce the name of this place?" And he meant Waxahachie. And she said, "Burger King." So, I'm not that bad. But not far off. But anyhow, look at Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. And I'm going to try to help you out a little bit and give you something to help your church. I'm not here just to preach messages. I want to help your church and help this place and help you to be a better Christian and a better servant of God. And in this chapter, the children of Israel are headed towards the promised land, and it was not without problems. I think I preached this morning. I didn't preach last night, so I talked about Moses this morning, and I'm going to do it again tonight. In verse number 1 of Numbers, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses, because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Look here, do you see that? They spoke against Moses' wife, and the Lord heard it. God hears it. Now look. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Never mistake meek for weak. He was not weak, or he would not have been doing what he was doing. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. Now it's getting serious now. God said, "You three, come out." Look at this. And then the Lord came down. He called them out, and then he came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Now notice Moses is standing back. Now it's Aaron and Miriam, and the Lord's dealing with them. And he said, "Hear now my words." Now this is God talking. "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." Now this is what this means. Miriam, Aaron, if I want you to preach and run this thing, I'll let you know. But until I do, you don't try to get in it. I've called that man back there. You're not to try to take his place. Now that's what this means. "My servant Moses," verse 7, "is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak even mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. In the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Now look, God said, "I don't speak to him like I do everybody else. I speak to him face to face." And then he said, "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them." Look at this. "And he departed." That's serious. "And the cloud departed." That's serious. "From off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee," he's meaning, "I beg you, lay not this sin upon us wherein we've done foolishly and wherein we've sinned. And let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days. And after that, let her be received again. And Miriam was shut out of the camp, from the camp, 7 days. And the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And the people journeyed not. And the people journeyed not. I'm speaking to you tonight about holding up the journey. Holding up the journey. If one woman could stop 1 million Jews from moving, don't you think that you could stop Anchor Baptist Church? Holding up the journey. Father, I pray you'll help me. Now, we've done heard great preaching tonight. Lord, I don't have the ability to preach great sermons. I've never done it in my life. But, oh God, help me tonight to help this church and these people to see, Lord, how important it is that when we get in the ministry like Brother Johnson preached, oh God, to stay in our place, that we might help the journey keep moving towards Canaan. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm preaching to you tonight on holding up the journey. And so you know the story, how God had brought these Jews out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, just like He brought me and you out of a sinful life by the blood of the Lamb. And now they're headed, the reason for the journey, they're headed to Canaan. Canaan is not heaven. You know, a lot of singers, and they're well-meaning people. They mean well, but they don't know their doctrine. The Canaan is the abundant, victorious Christian life. It's not heaven. We're to live in Canaan here. We're to enjoy God here. Heaven is heaven. Canaan was the land of milk and honey. Hey, and by the way, they were only one chapter away. They're camping here on the edge of Canaan. And most of the time, that's where the devil will try to attack a church and get somebody to start a problem, is when you get close to Canaan. And they're close. In the next chapter, Moses sent in the spies, Brother Johnson, into Canaan to look out the land. Did he not? See? But Miriam and Aaron had a problem with Moses' wife. Now, that was none of their business. They got out of their place. Do you know that I've observed some things that most of the time when a church has problems, it's because somebody gets out of their place. There's some things that you don't need to be in. If God has you in a ministry, He preached a while ago on seeing we have this ministry, find out what God wants you to do and do that ministry. And find out and say, preacher, what do you want me to do? And if He puts you to taking care of a ministry, and you may have two ministries here, and in some cases, somebody may be involved in three or more. But let me tell you, know your boundaries. You know, the other day, last Monday, as a matter of fact, right in front of my house, right in front of where I live, the worst wreck I've nearly ever seen took place. Everybody in both automobiles were killed, and both of the automobiles burned till it burned up the pavement down into the gravel. They'll have to replace the road. You know why? Because a car got out of his lane into another man's lane and tried to pass on double lines on a curve and killed everybody in both vehicles. You know what he done? He got out of his area. That double line in the middle of that road is one of the greatest inventions that's ever been made. It saved more lives than nearly anything if you'll stay between it and that white line. Over here, you go in the ditch. And over here, you're going to hit head-on traffic. If you'll stay in your area, you can have a good journey. Now, but that's true in church. If you'll stay in your lane. See what I'm saying? Miriam and Aaron had no business. And it went from criticizing Moses' wife, it went from that to saying, yeah, and by the way, he only thinks God is only speaks by him. Who's he think he is? God speaks through us too. Well, let me tell you something. And God straightened that out. And the Lord heard it. And God, it was serious enough, God come down and called them out He said, if I want you in speaking and representing me, I'll call you. I'll get a hold of you. But this man, Moses, is special. And when I talk to him, it's mouth to mouth and face to face, and we're close. And so don't you touch him. That's what he was saying. Now, so the reason for the journey, they're trying to get to Canaan. They're trying to get to Canaan land. Now, but then we see the rebellion in the journey. The rebellion. Rebellion is from the devil.
Amen. Right.
You know, that's how he got kicked out of heaven. He was an angel. And he too thought that God ought to speak through him. And he set himself up as God. And he tried to exalt his position above the throne of God. And it got him and his angels that was with him, that group, it got all of them kicked out of heaven. Rebellion. And it wasn't nothing but pride. And so rebellion in the journey. Miriam and Aaron sinned against Moses. They were jealous, and they spake against God's man. Very, very serious thing. And I want to give you some good advice tonight on that. Let me tell you, Mom and Dad, if you ever want to wreck your kids, let me tell you how to do it. Be critical of the preacher or the staff. Don't do it. You say, why? Because the Lord will hear it. And when God hears it, some of the curse off of it may be that it'll ruin your children. You always lift up this man. You lift up this man. Now, you do what you want to do, but I'm going to give you some good advice. If I was you and I had little ones, I would try to make sure that my kids, my children, always went by and spoke to the man of God. You say, why? There's something about the touch of God's man that I want him to, my children to be touched by God's man. I want them to. I don't want my kids just take off running when church is over and go out in the field or out in the parking lot and send them by to see the preacher. And you know something? I'm careful. I don't hug ladies in our church or no church. I don't do that. But I got some little children, and I thank God for them. I've got some little children, and preacher, I'll be standing sometimes maybe talking to somebody, and I'll have a little kid, maybe a little boy, a little girl. They'll run, and they're little. They don't even know. Some of them's real small, and they'll run, and they'll just throw their arms around my waist and hug me and say, I love you, preacher. I will tell you something, neighbor. Listen, I said, God, keep them that way. When they get up in their 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and 17 and 18, where I can still help them and talk to them and they'll listen to the preacher. Oh, let me tell you something. Don't speak against your preacher. The rebellion in the journey, and then the rebuke from the Lord that held up the journey. The Lord heard it, and God come down, and he said, you three, come out. And then he called out Miriam and Aaron further and left Moses standing behind, and he called them forward. Do you see it? And I want to tell you something. Ladies, I'm not picking on you, but I want to tell you something. Listen. And preacher, I want to tell you something. I love you ladies here in this church, and we couldn't make it without our ladies in our church, and you couldn't make it here, preacher. But listen to me. If you ever get a woman that gets crossways and mean, she'll cause you more trouble than a man. You say, you ain't got no scripture for that. You show me where Miriam repented. She not one time said, I'm sorry, oh God. But I bet she thought about it while she's pinned up. This quarantine thing ain't a new thing. But listen to me. Let me tell you, but Aaron repented, but Miriam did not. You read it. It's right there before you. She didn't say, God, I'm sorry. But he did. And hey, That's why she turned into a leper. She was the instigator. She was the initiator. I know what I'm talking about. Aaron was not a leader, though he was the high priest. He was not a leader. He was not stout, Brother Richardson. Every time he had a chance to stand, like your sign says, take your stand, he folded up. He could never lead people. He could never stand. Right here, he ought to have told his sister. When she started talking like that, he said, hold it, sis. Hold it. First of all, that's our brother. And second, that's a prophet of God and of Israel right there, and you better not say anything. Brother Richard said, he didn't do it. And when Moses went up on the mountain that time, and that crowd in Numbers 32 said, we don't know what's become of Moses. Make us gods. He said, give me your earrings and your necklaces and bracelets. And he formed a golden calf. And when Moses got back, that crowd was in the worst shape they'd ever been in. Am I telling it right? Aaron was, he could not stand. And Miriam did not repent here. She was punished. She paid the price. And there's people so dumb or stupid or whatever you want to call it that even after this, they stood against Moses. A preacher, poor old Korah and Dathan and Abiram, after this. Now, if that had been me, Brother Johnson, and I'd have seen God take a woman and turn her where she looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy and turn her whiter than a chalk and lepers, sores bust out all over. If I'd have seen that, I'd have said, I'd have been coming to get Moses' sandals and polished them, and I'd have been saying I'm sorry every day. But look, there was people there present that didn't have enough sense, even after this, that they stood up against God's man. Oh, and by the way, they said the same thing. God ain't just spoke by you. Who do you think you are? Well, they found out. Hey, you want to know the first sign of hell in the Bible was just a few chapters over. And buddy, I mean the ground busted open and flames belching up through them. And 200 men went, fell into the pit of hell. Now, if that had been me and I seen that, I'd have been laying on my face saying, oh, God help me and my family never to say nothing against this preacher. The rebellion in the journey. And then the rebuke in the journey from the Lord. Then, let me say, what holds up the journey? There's the resistance in the journey. Now, I'm going to switch gears just a little bit. You know, when we resistance in the journey, when prayer is neglected, it holds up the journey. Right? When we don't pray as a church, my house is to be called of all nations the house of prayer. When we don't pray as God's people, the journey stops. When purity is not in our churches, the journey stops. You're not really making progress. Purity. We need to get back to old-fashioned holiness in our church. Brother, the word holiness scares Baptists to death. But brother, we need some old-fashioned holiness. And fear of God. We don't have no fear of God. Holiness, purity. Romans 12, 1 and 2 said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brethren, let me tell you something today. All these little old churches that are taking Baptists off their name and getting them a rock band in just to get crowds. And let me tell you, listen, and the preacher's dressing down casual and putting on blue jeans and tennis shoes. And listen, preaching off of their iPads and preaching off of their phones and all that kind of a mess. That's right. Let me tell you something. You better study and memorize your scriptures and get them in your heart and in your head. And listen, write down, listen. And I don't care if you type it out. That's all right. But let me tell you something. It'll help you if you'll write with a pen and or type or whatever you got to do where you'll put your notes down and you have to write them out. You'll remember what you put down. Hey, what happens if a battery, bless God, dies in that iPad you got? You're sunk, neighbor. You're sunk. You're sunk. And I'll just be honest with you. There's so much stuff comes up through them things. I wouldn't trust the devil with one of my sermons. I wouldn't want him to get to me. I'd get in the middle of one, he'd put something pop up on mine that shouldn't be up there. I'm careful about what goes in my Bible. I wouldn't want one of them things to touch it. You said, well, you're just fanatical about it. Well, I guess I am. Yeah, I guess that's right. But you just hang around. It won't be long. Old-timers, they'll be gone. And then you'll have that little skinny britches legs and a moosed-up headed, no-tie-wearing rock and roll bunch standing up on a platform trying to take you. Let me tell you something, brother. That ain't Lester Roloff religion. That ain't Jack Hiles religion. That's not Frank Norris way of going. That's not John R. Rice and Curtis Hudson and Carl Hatch. They didn't go for that stuff. Let me just move on. But the purity, and when power of the Holy Ghost is neglected, and when pulling together in unity is neglected, the journey stops. Now, let me say this. I want to tell you, the pity of the journey is what happened. It says here that the Lord departed. The Lord departed. Do you see that? I'm looking for it myself, but I read it a while ago. It says here, and the anger of the Lord was kindled, verse 9, and he departed. Do you see that? He departed, God left. Let me tell you, there's churches that think they're on the journey today. God's not leading them. And let me tell you, that cloud that hung over that tabernacle was the Shekinah glory cloud. You know what that cloud meant? The presence of God. Brother, it was their air conditioning in the day in the desert, and it was their heat at night. And when God left, the cloud left with him. They were without the presence of God and the power of God. God left. That's the pity. And let me tell you, today there's churches that thinks they're on the journey. But when they're fussing and they're fighting among themselves, or they're fighting against God's man, and they're trying to drag in a bunch of stuff from the world into their church. And let me tell you something. You just listen to the preacher a minute. I'm not home. I'm here. And I'm telling you, in this church, and I'm just telling you the way it is. Your pastor, like Brother Johnson said a while ago, he is the one that's got to face God for Anchor Baptist Church. Not the staff, not the deacons, not the choir, not the nursery workers, Dr. George Bell. Now listen, since that's true, that he's the one that's got to give count for all this, he ought to be the one that makes the calls on what goes and what don't go. Because he ought to be the one that if there's a song that the choir is wanting to sing, if he says, I don't like that song, it's not up for debate. It's not up for debate. That's the end of it. Brother Richardson, where you pastor, the same way. If you're giving account to God, like I'll give an account. So if I've got to pay for something, I dead sure want to be the one that says whether I buy it or not. Amen? And then let me tell you what you're going to give an account to. You're going to give an account for following the preacher. Now you say, when I follow God, I know, but God puts a man, a pastor, to help you and guide you and nourish you, and this man loves you. I don't know any man that I think loves his church any more than this man up here. Now let me tell you, there's safety in it and security of it. So it would do you well. And by the way, I don't know of one member. I don't know of one member of the member that are members of this church that is not in line. I don't know of a one. But I'll tell you this. You can hold up the journey, and this church cannot move the way it ought to move, that God intended for it to move. If you don't believe it, one woman held up the journey. Did she not? Say amen. She sure did. So we see that the power of God left. The pity is when the power of God leaves, you've had it. You've had it. And then let me say the remedy for holding up the journey is found in verse number 11. Now, I'm not doing a good job preaching this, but it's all here. And Aaron said to Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beg thee, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned." He's confessing his and Miriam's sin, but she never did. If you can find it, show it to me. I'm just asking you. Show me where she repented. I don't ever see it. Now, Moses is a Christian. I'm telling you, he had it. You say, how you know? Look at the next verse. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now. Oh God, I beseech thee. God, please heal her." See, he had God on him. He was right. "Lord, I beseech her, heal her now. Heal her now." And God did. God let her live. But you know something? I never see where she ever walked up and said, "Moses, I learned my lesson." Now, she might have learned her lesson, but it doesn't say she did. I guarantee you one thing. I'd have been repenting through that fence. I'd have been hollering through them boards. "Sir, pastor, hey, preacher, don't come close to this fence because I'm contagious, but I want to tell you with all my heart, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said about Miss Moses. I shouldn't have felt the way I did. I'm asking you to forgive me for my ill feelings and what I said. It wasn't right." And Moses would have cried back and said, "Miriam, I love you. I love you, and I'm sorry it happened to you. But you know something? Look at me. There was the remedy. The remedy is repentance. Get right about things. Get right. Don't hold up the journey." And by the way, can I say this? It goes for not only going against the preacher, but going against each other. It'll hold up the journey. Fellas, here on this front row, get along with each other. Get along with each other. Get along. Don't fuss and fight here. You know why? When you do, it grieves God. And it grieves Him. It grieves your preacher. It causes your preacher grief when he hears that people don't get along. Hey, you know something? If we are to love each other. And by the way, this same thing that will hold up the house of God's journey will hold up your home, the journey of your home. And it'll hold up the journey of your heart. You won't progress as long as you got stuff like that in you. You will never grow. You'll never move forward. Oh, listen. Camping on Canaan's border, but not going in. Why? Holding up the journey. They was one chapter, Brother Johnson, one chapter from being able to get over into Canaan. One chapter away, you're in chapter 12, chapter 13, you're going in if you want to go in. But one woman held up the journey. Holding up the journey. Holding up the journey. Oh, it's sad, isn't it? Holding up the journey. The remedy is repentance. And then in verses 15 and 16, and Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And then after that, it says, and afterward the people removed from Hazor and pitched in the wilderness of Paran and moved on. But you know what? It had to be took care of. It had to be taken care of. You know, man, I want to be where God wants me to be, don't you? I don't want to get stuff in my life that holds up the journey. I don't want to do that. If you're not careful, you'll stunt the blessings of God where He can't bless you. He can't do for you what He'd like to do because somebody's holding up the journey. You know what I want to see Anchor Baptist Church 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now? Brother Bell, I hope you stay healthy, you and Mrs. Bell. And I hope God gives you a lot of years here and gives you a bunch of families and couples in here that'll work and take the load off of you and help you, and y'all can just reach this big city for God. I want to see it happen. But listen to me tonight. If you're not careful, you can get crossways about something and the journey stops. And you're holding up the journey. Don't hold up the journey. Keep everything clear. Love you, God. Love God with all your heart. Love each other. Love each other here at this church. And love your pastor and his wife. And let me tell you, at this point in his ministry, he don't need burdens like that. They're unnecessary burdens. He carries enough burdens. You know, people don't know how much a load a preacher, and I'm talking about a pastor of a church, carries. I've been hurting in my shoulder real bad. I've been having real, real bad pains. Matter of fact, I thought I had a rotator cuff tore. I thought I had a tore. I couldn't even lay on my left side and sleep or hardly pick up my briefcase to put it up in the bin. I mean, I was almost embarrassed. I couldn't hardly pick it up and put it up. It was so much pain. And that happened from January to the last week. I just hurt so bad that I wouldn't go to the doctor because I was afraid they was going to say, we got to operate. And I said, I ain't got time for operation. I don't have time for that to be down that many weeks. And that's what I thought. Well, a woman in my church said, Pastor, you need to go see Dr. So-and-so. He's a chiropractor. He said, he can help you. Go see. I'll go see him, but I don't know if he can do anything for me. Make it short. He said, raise your arm up. And I raised my arm up. And he said, put it out this way. Raise it up. I raised it up. He said, you ain't got no torn rotator cuff. I said, hallelujah. He said, lay down on that table. Started running his hand up and down my spine and started feeling on my neck and back through my shoulder. And he moved my legs a little bit. He said, get up off the table. He walked over there and he said, if you got time, I'll see you for 4 weeks and I'll fix that. And I said, well, what's wrong with me? And he looked at me. I told Brother Johnson and Brother Bell today, the guy looks just like Charles Spurgeon. He's got a big beard, and it's gray, and his hair's sort of thick and bushy, and he's short, and probably weighs 275, 300 pounds, and looks just like Spurgeon today. And his eyes was almost tearing holes in me, and he said, "You want to know what's wrong with you?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "It's pressure and weight on your back, your neck, your shoulder area. It's in your neck." I said, "But Doc, my shoulder's killing." He said, "I know." He said, "It's those nerves that's running across your shoulders." And he said, "Preacher, the Bible said we're fearfully and wonderfully made." That's what he said. And he said, "God did not intend for you to carry by yourself what you're carrying." And he said, "The problem is the load you carry. It's just a matter of you've carried it so long that you can't go no further. I'm going to have to work on you." But there's nothing wrong with your back. There's nothing wrong with the bones or the structure. And I said, "Well, what's wrong with it? I mean, I heard." He says, "Just you're bound up from tension carrying the load." Now, let me tell you something. This man right here don't need one more ounce on him. He don't need another ounce. So anything you can do to remove weight, do it. I mean by that, don't squabble among yourselves and fuss. You say, "What for?" Because if you do, you'll be holding up the journey. God's got some great places this church will go from here. But if you're not careful, just getting out of some... You didn't look like no big deal, did it? I mean, it was his sister. This is Moses' sister. It was a family member. His sister and brother. And God stopped and said, "Hey, I ain't having that." He heard it. God said, "I heard that. Come out." He stopped it. And they didn't move for 7 days. And people said, "What are we stopping for?" Said, "Somebody's talking about the preacher up here. And you got all these people. Can you imagine?" And by the way, everybody got punished for it. You say, "How you know?" Because when the cloud left, brother, that heat rolled in there the next day. They said, "Man, where's the cloud?" Somebody said, "That's a good question." And at night, there was no heat. For 7 days, there was no cloud. Brother, every time this place meets, there ought to be a cloud over it. And it's called the power of God cloud. You be careful about holding up the journey. Do you know something? Let me close with this. I'm through preaching. But you know, some people hold up the journey of heaven. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And you know, Judas Iscariot looked like he was on the journey, but he wasn't. Not really. He was an imposter. He really didn't have it. Oh, he traveled well. He even got the lingo. He even talked like disciples. He did a lot of things they did. He saw Jesus take 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 men besides women and children. He saw him raise Lazarus. He saw him open the eyes of the blind Bartimaeus. He saw him raise the man up at the pool of Bethesda. He saw every bit of that. He heard the greatest sermons that ever fell from the lips of human flesh. But he never heeded to it. He never got born again. And one day when he betrayed Jesus, they said, "How will we know who Jesus is?" He betrayed him. He said, "The one I kiss." And Judas Iscariot looked like he was on the journey. And he got so close to heaven that he walked up and planted a kiss on the face of Jesus, the door. He kissed the door of heaven, but never got in. He kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. Let me tell you something tonight. somebody here that's not saved. I don't doubt anybody's salvation. But you know if you're in. And if you're not, don't hold up the journey. You got to be born again. Let's bow our heads.